Your Wedding Your Way, number 19. And the difference is... Hello, everybody. Thanks for the emails. I'm so glad you're joining us. It's a beautiful night here in Southern California, and we've had a kind of easygoing week. Haven't been pushing myself quite as hard when it comes to the day job. Anyway, it's just been a beautiful week, and I hope that you are having a wonderful week yourself, planning for your wedding. Well, I would like to thank everybody for the emails I've been receiving, and if you want to contact me and give me your wedding questions or your wedding thoughts, then you can reach me at leanne.yourwedding@gmail.com. Everyone continue to email and let me know what you're thinking. I'm really interested in what's going on out there in the wedding world. Aside from what I know of it, I'd like to know your thoughts and your different concepts that you're trying to bring about with the wedding that you're planning. Today we're going to be talking about the traditional side of wedding planning versus the new or the modern version of wedding planning, and everything that modern versus traditional might encompass. Well, not everything, because I'm sure I haven't thought of everything, but we'll just try to cover a few areas. Let's start with traditional photographer versus photojournalist. Now, a traditional photographer, when you're thinking photographer, you think basically the posed, beautiful shots that give you the perfect look, the doctored up pictures that sometimes they put through the filters or they grab just the perfect lighting for it. But photojournalists are becoming rather popular in the photo world. They do things more with the candid shots, and it's geared to more of a magazine style in your album. It's life as it's happening on the wedding day. Many times the album itself takes on the look of a scrapbook or a montage style, or possibly the look of a front page magazine, something kind of upbeat and with a lot of different characters going on one page, not just one beautiful photo of you and your husband at the altar or the family posed picture with everybody together. It might be your bridesmaids and you walking through the garden together, or when you're getting ready. That's kind of what photojournalists are doing now. If you wanted to check out some information about photojournalists, you could go to iqphoto.com. They had some really good thoughts and ideas over there. The next thing we want to talk about is wedding coordinator or planner versus wedding director. A wedding planner is someone who assists the bride throughout the whole process of planning the wedding. You could also call this a wedding coordinator. And they're there to help you with every single step of the way. They'll lead you to finding a capable pastry chef, to a good photographer or photojournalist that you'd be interested in, different florists that might meet the style that you're going for in your wedding. They can give you ideas for really great sites for your wedding to be held, for the reception, different ideas for the ceremony. They might have some decorating tips that were new or different for you. They might also have some ideas on different musicians that can be there for you. Now, a director is somebody that hasn't been there every step of the way. You've basically done all the wedding planning yourself, but you just want somebody to show up on the day of the wedding, possibly on the rehearsal night also, to walk through the steps that are going to take place at your wedding and to be in charge of directing the person who is supposed to be ushering, or the people who are doing the guest book, someone to just oversee the running and the plans of things to make that it happen smoothly. So that's wedding planner versus wedding director. I myself see a really great need for a wedding coordinator. There are so many weddings now that hold so much to them. Weddings aren't simple like they used to be. They've become these lavish affairs. And so I think you need somebody to help you coordinate it. I mean, you might have a mother who is just top of the line and she can handle all of that and the two of you together can do it. But lots of times the coordinator can really give you some good tips that you had no idea or you just didn't even think about it. The next direction we're going to be thinking is, how about baker versus pastry chef? Now, when you think of a baker, you think the traditional wedding cake. Round, couple layers, maybe possibly a fountain in it, a couple different fillings to choose from, your traditional chocolate cake, marble cake, or white cake, buttercream or whipped cream frosting. That's your basic baker. Somebody who hasn't really put a lot of thought or know-how into schooling and learning all the different things that are out there now. A pastry chef, on the other hand, is somebody who can give you a myriad of choices. Choices from the shapes of the wedding cakes. You've got your box style now, you've got the round, you've got the different style of tiers that go, some have the rectangular or the triangle or the round. There's just a whole different area of thinking when it comes to pastry chefs. As far as frosting, they can also do the traditional buttercream or the whipped cream for you if you're interested in that. But pastry chefs really do a good job with fondant and ganache. Those are two really nice looks that you can get. And with the fondant, they can do the beautiful flowers and the ribbons and the lace that just have a really realistic look. The decorations are more involved. And they can do things with the gold leafing that is just phenomenal and out of this world. Or they can use fresh fruits or the fresh florals. Or, like I said, doing the floral with the fondant. You might want to check out ultimatewedding.com. They have some ideas when it comes to pastry chef, and that might be a place you want to go to give a look. Now, the next area that I would like to put our thoughts towards are invitations. Printer versus homemade. Now, some girls, when they think homemade, they're thinking the scrapbooking or the stamping, which some girls still do that. And that's if you're going for the more simple backyard wedding or the country church style, something really sweet and innocent, then the stamping or the scrapbooking type thing, that might make for a great invitation. But you can really make some beautiful, beautiful homemade invitations. First, let's talk about the printer. If you use a professional printer, you're going to have to give them a lot more advanced notice than you would if you're doing it yourself. It usually turns out to be more expensive. Sometimes you can get a printer who has some originality and he has true creativity when it comes to doing his invitations. There's one website that I found. It's called imagineinvitations.com. And they have some invitations from Ireland that are very lovely. They just have some beautiful pictures, sweet ways of phrasing things. So if you're interested in using a professional printer, that might be an area that you want to check into. But when it comes to the homemade, you can really save yourself a ton of money and you can make it be your own specific style. You can pick up several different styles of vellum at your local office supply. They also have some already printed with the gold design on it or flowers, something lacy, all different kinds of styles that you can pick up at an office supply. But the wonderful thing about it is you can have a friend or a professional photographer take a bunch of pictures of you and your fiancé in some surroundings that you love to share. If it's a specific place at a beach or if it's in the mountains with the snow and the nature scene, or down at the desert with the verbena and the cactus. Some people are really into that and the hiking. Then that might be a place that you would want to have your wedding picture taken. You can just choose anywhere and have the picture done if you wanted to do it with a picture, and then have it printed at your local photo developer and then put them together. Usually you can save yourself about half the amount that a professional printer would charge you. And then what about the wedding dress? Wedding dress shop versus tailor or seamstress. Now this one is a really, really difficult, more in-depth choice in my opinion, because when you go to a wedding shop, you have a very wide variety of dresses to choose from. somebody's already put their creative stamp on it, and you have such a vast array of places that you can choose from. And you can also get, in many occasions, a discount if it's been a discontinued dress or it's one that has been tried on by other girls. So that's a real benefit to going to a wedding shop and buying your dress at an actual wedding dress shop. It's also nice because you get to try it on ahead of time and see exactly what style works for you, what doesn't, and you might see a dress that's in the magazine that you love and adore, and you just think, this is the dress I want. And then you get to the shop that they say carries it, and you try it on, and you think, oh my goodness, it's just not right for me at all. So you're really able to have the choice of trying things on and figuring it out with the dress on type effect. If you go with a tailor, it will usually be less expensive for you, but unless you really know that you've got somebody who is super talented and they have your idea and that they can do the style that you're choosing, you might turn out with a surprise that you're not really up for. If you go that route and you go with a seamstress or a tailor who's going to make the dress for you, be sure you see their previous work. Be sure that you can trust him or her and know that it's something that you are really comfortable with and that you feel like they can just do whatever it is that your heart has set. Maybe you can bring them several different pictures and see some work they've done and know that, yes, that's the right person for me. So that's a choice that I think would be a very difficult one to make if you're really scrimping and trying to cut the budget as small as you can and you have a tailor who offers you a really great rate on a dress. Then, you know, it would be very exciting, the thought of saving the money, but the fear of not getting it just the way you want is also something I'm not sure that I would be willing to risk. Let's think wedding day. Church versus alternate wedding site. What are you up for? If you go with a church, usually it turns out to be less expensive because many times it's something that you're already, a place you're already familiar with. Maybe you already attend the church, so they'll let you use it for free. Or the cost to you would be so much more minimal than it would be to go and rent a banquet hall or to go and rent a country club somewhere. So that's one of the benefits of doing a church. Also, it tends to give you sometimes more of a cozy family feeling. If it's a smaller church or a church that has a beautiful, soft lighting to it, sometimes you have more freedom in decorating if you're at a church. Sometimes they've already got an absolutely gorgeous decor up front, so there's not too much you need to do as far as covering anything up or making it look beautiful and elegant and gorgeous. Sometimes if you rent a country club, then you have to rent a lot of extras to make it look like a beautiful wedding. Many times, if you rent a church to use, there's a wedding consultant that comes with the church. Now, she might not walk you through all the steps that a normal coordinator would do. She might only show up for the rehearsal and the actual wedding itself. But usually, if you're using their wedding coordinator or consultant, then she's available for you when you have questions. If you need to call her before the wedding and say, what about flowers? What about candelabras? And sometimes the church themselves already have candelabras and archways and altars and communion sets that you can use, so it might turn out to be less expensive for you. The alternate site might be also wonderful because the choices in the surroundings are greater. You, of course, aren't going to be limited to just a church setting. You're going to be able to either choose a country club on the golf course, or a country club in the desert, or something beautiful that's by the ocean, a restaurant that has a beautiful banquet facility that overlooks the ocean. So there are a lot of different choices. And the also great benefit that comes with the alternate site is that many times the reception can be at the same place, so you get a 2-for-1 price when it comes to that. Well, that's everything that I had to look over tonight for our choices between modern versus traditionalism. There are many others, and I'm sure I I've just barely begun to scratch the surface, but I thought this might be a little something to get your brain thinking in some different directions. I know that June weddings are fast upon us, and some girls are already planning for the August and the December weddings. But these are things that might add a little difference or a little tweak to your planning that you've already got going. Well, I hope you come back and join us next week. And we're going to talk a little more about tradition, but it's going to be a fun week talking about the traditions from the past, some things from different countries, different lands, and then some new things that are happening in weddings. We're going to go through a few traditions from other countries and other lands, some different places where things originated that we probably had no idea about. And if you come from a lineage that is from a foreign country, this might put some thoughts in your mind of ways that you can make your wedding more unique to the culture that you came from. So come back and check with us next week. And until then, may this and all days to come be blessed with God's love. Bye.
This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.